Welcome to the Nuclear Medicine and Molecular Medicine Podcast. Podcast 11, Athens Part 4. Merry Christmas, everyone. Just a short Christmas podcast this time with the last of our interviews from Athens with Dick Quekkerboom from the Netherlands talking about a really increasing use of therapy, which is DOTA therapy with lutetium-177 for treatment of a wide range of tumours. I'm sure you'll find this very interesting it's going to be the way forward, I think, in terms of treatment. But it's really doing great things right now. Some of you may have been listening to this for the first time. You've got an iPod for Christmas. I encourage you to go to nucast.com. That's NUCCAST.com. And there you can see all the previous episodes. Download them. If you're traveling, you can listen to them on the plane, or if you're traveling to work, you can listen to them over time. So I encourage you to get those previous episodes either from the website or from iTunes. If you don't see the full list of the last 10 episodes, just unsubscribe and subscribe again, and you'll get those full list of episodes. So I'd encourage you again to help look at the previous episodes and how you can help with the podcast. I'd really appreciate it if you can give me a Christmas present by offers of interviews and contributions, and also questions. If you have any questions about nuclear medicine, if you've got any things you'd like to know, things you'd like me to look up for and find out for you, then please email me, or better still, send me a voice message. You can look at the previous podcasts and look on the website to show you how to do that. I'd really appreciate it. But before further ado, I'll get straight into the podcast with Dick Quekkerboom from the Netherlands talking about DOTA therapy.
Here we are back in Athens again with Dr. Dick Quekkerboom, and he's done some very interesting work dealing with somatostatin therapy, and this therapy is proving useful for many patients, and perhaps I'll just hand it over to him. He can tell you a bit about himself and a little bit about the research he's been doing.
Okay, thank you very much. I am involved in research in somatostatin receptor field since a number of years, I must say. This all started with the OCTEOSCAN, which is a diagnostic means to detect tumors that express somatostatin receptors. These are rare tumors, relatively rare tumors, like for instance carcinoids and neuroendocrine tumors. Usually these are tumors that grow slowly, and they may or may not produce hormones which cause symptoms. The method of visualization was followed by an aim of therapy of the same tumors. What we do is we use the same vector, so to say, that is a somatostatin-like substance, coupled to different radionuclides, which may, in effect, kill tumor cells. And the youngest brother of the family that we use nowadays for over the last 6 years, lutetium octutate, has proven very effective in treating patients with neuroendocrine tumors. We can achieve a tumor reduction in like 40-50% of patients, and in a larger number, an amelioration of symptoms.
One thing people would like to know would be, how does it what sort of cancers does you treat? Because many cancers express somatostatin receptors. What ones have been most successful, and how does that compare with conventional chemotherapy in terms of time to remission?
Okay, the tumors that we treat are essentially somatostatin receptor expressing tumors. These are neuroendocrine tumors. That is a minority of gastrointestinal tumors. The tumors that we have treated most are so-called GAP tumors, gastroenteropancreatic endocrine tumors.
I forgot your question. Oh, yes. I was just wondering, how does it compare to conventional chemotherapy?
The results that we achieve are fairly good if you compare it to, for instance, chemotherapy, which is not often done in this type of patients. In carcinoids, for instance, you can give chemotherapy with different regimens, but the effectiveness is like it may affect the tumor volume in 20% of patients, and the duration of the response is very short, usually up to 18 months. If you compare that to the results with lutetium octreotide, a success percentage of 45% and a mean duration of response of nearly 4 years, that's of course a better result.
Yes, and for the patients, that's a considerable improvement of life. And can these patients have repeat therapy?
Can they have
repeat therapy?
At the moment, we give a maximum of these therapies in 4 cycles. That regimen is safe. You have to keep into mind that you might have kidney and bone marrow toxicity. That does not happen often if we keep to these 4 cycles. However, if patients respond well initially to the first regimen and have regrowth of their tumors after a couple of years, we have started retreating them if their tumors still express the somatostatin receptor. And we've done that now in over 30 patients without observing too much toxicity, but the follow-up is relatively short.
I was impressed by your figures, not simply with survival, but with the quality of life that was expressed in almost all the patients, and even the patients that didn't have a good response to the chemotherapy. Is that correct?
That's correct, especially the patients who have a good response respond that their quality of life increases significantly. We have tested that by self-assessed quality of life forms that people fill out themselves, and also in patients that do not do so well, you see an improvement in quality of life. Of course, the figure that I just mentioned of response in tumor volume is less than the patients that do better symptomatically. That percentage is much, much higher.
Right. Now, looking down the track, I mean, in terms of selecting patients, what are the best ways to select patients? What types of things predict that they'll do well in terms of your therapy?
Okay, if we analyze what is the most important factor to predict treatment outcome, that is tumor volume reduction, then the uptake on a so-called Octreo scan, a diagnostic scan for the demonstration of somatostatin receptor expression, that factor is the most important one, meaning that if you have a relatively low expression, the results are not so good as when the expression is very high. Another factor is that the performance score of patients has to be reasonably high. So if you include many end-stage patients, the results will not be so good as when you treat patients in a relatively good condition. So the message is that you should not wait till patients are near to death before you start this treatment.
Yes, I think that's an important message going from the study. Often newer treatments get left to last, and that may not be the best way to deal with patients. I mean, the critical factors in terms of what you can, the amount of dose you can give, seems to be kidney uptake. Now, have you looked at things like some papers at this conference have looked at amifostine, for example, to protect kidneys? Have you looked at ways of protecting kidneys so that you can increase the dose and perhaps prolong the duration of effect?
There are 2 dose-limiting systems. One is the kidney, the other is the bone marrow, so you have to try to lower the dose to both. As far as kidney dose is concerned, we do a trick to reduce the kidney uptake by giving patients amino acids concomitant with the radioactivity. Amifostan, as you mentioned, is a relatively new drug that may be of great interest, and it's been tested now in preclinical setting. Once that proves valuable, we might try it also in patients, but that will take another 1 to 2 years, I think.
Yes, I think that'll prove very exciting. I think in terms of looking at the opposite effect, one thing you did mention was chemosensitization for the radiotherapy, because amifostine is quite good in terms of reducing damage, but it doesn't seem to reduce to the non-target organs, but it doesn't seem to reduce the effect in the target organs. But I believe you've also been looking at ways of improving the damaging effect in the target organs. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
There's a multi-center trial that we want to start and that we are going to start with so-called chemosensitizing. What we intend to use is capecitabine in conjunction with our therapy. Capecitabine is the prodrug of 5-FU. What we plan is to give that to patients for 2 weeks, starting the day they get the radioactivity, in order to especially increase the effect of the radiation and reduce the radiation-induced damage repair. That's the mechanism. We have started a small pilot in 7 patients now with the combination. We have to do that for 2 cycles. If that proves not too toxic, and the facts up to now seem to indicate that, then we'll start a multi-center randomized controlled trial in which one arm of the trial the patients will have lutetium octreotide and in the other the combination with capecitabine, and that will start I expect this December or next January.
For a long time now, particularly cancer in solid tumours, is we haven't done very well in terms of improving therapy for really 20 years, and perhaps nuclear medicine, looking down the track, may have increasing role in turning cancer perhaps into more of a chronic disease than a fatal one. I think some of these new things are developing in nuclear medicine in particular, may be the number one field for all of medicine for dealing with solid tumours. Do you think so? Do you think that's possible down the track?
Well, nuclear medicine historically has always been physiology-driven because what we do when we make images is image physiology. And that application to tumour biology will prove its value, I think, also in the future. But you need to have the good targets, of course. And that's the big quest for nuclear medicine, to have the targets for the big populations of patients.
Thank you again for agreeing to be on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
For those that are having a break, then have a great one and come back for an exciting year next year. We've got some really good podcasts lined up for early next year, but we can always do with some more. So please keep in touch. Tell me how you feel. I'd love to hear from you. And season's greetings to everyone. Bye.